SwingerCast is intended for mature audiences. If you're under 18, this show's not only not for you, but you're not even going to be able to get into the places we're talking about. For the rest of you, sit back and enjoy. And remember, this is just from our own personal experiences, and it should not be misconstrued as professional advice.
SwingerCast.
SwingerCast is about our
hot
times that we have and our
hot
love that we have. Some people claim that we say
hot
too much, but we don't care because we love our
hot
times.
Episode 73.
I'm John.
And I'm Allie.
And you're listening to SwingerCast, who is still reveling in the debaucherous fun that we had at Desire Resort in Cancun, Mexico, a couple weeks ago.
Yes, and I still haven't unpacked.
We have so many people to thank for supporting us on their trip. Not only all the sexy couples that came with us, but Play Passions for giving us some toys to give away while we were down there, and
Pure Lube.
I swear to God, we traveled to Mexico with
lots of lube, and it's the best, I think, in my opinion, lube out there.
Spelled P-J-U-R, but pronounced Pure.
Pure. Yeah, it's my favorite. It's my favorite lube.
So that was really cool of them to hook us and our friends up with a Lotso lube and Nipple Charms.
Who sent some very sexy charms for the ladies.
You can check them out at nipplecharms.com. And, you know, the people at the resort, we'll have to spread the love out over the next couple of episodes, but also want to say thanks to Dream Pleasure Tours. They sent the owner of the company down, and his girlfriend down to take good care of us. That was really a nice touch and much appreciated.
And Cassidy.com. Our friends at Cassidy gave us lots of gifts to give away on our trip, and we love supporting their lifestyle community.
It's Cassidy, Cassidie.com. And if you create a free membership there, tell them SwingerCast sent you.
Mm-hmm. So we've got a long episode, pretty long. One afternoon, I sat on the balcony with 8 guys. It started out 6, and 2 others came in a little late. And I had a chat with 8 of our friends there on the balcony. You might hear some some bird that kind of hung around our place for a while, and there's also some sounds from the pool. If you're wondering what the whistle blowing and people yelling, I think they were playing nude volleyball
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, the bird sound was distinctly Cancun.
So before we get started with the gentleman talk, we want to talk about Swing Fest. Swing Fest is
July 22nd through the 25th in Kissimmee, Florida.
Yes.
Very close to Orlando.
And
I just like saying Kissimmee.
And we have some free passes to give away for Swing Fest.
Yes, if you come to our forum at swingercast.com, log on to the forum, and you'll be able to see a chance to win a free events pass to Swing Fest. It's worth about $400. So, and even if you're listening to this and it's been a couple of weeks since this show came out, or a month even, still, there's still other opportunities to win passes to Swing Fest. So come on to the forum and check it out.
Okay, so we have lots of other audio and more shows to do, but right now, here is me with the guys on my balcony. Hope you enjoy. Hi, I'm sitting here with 6 sexy lifestyle men, and we're going to just have a little chit-chat about the lifestyle as soon as my husband leaves. Okay, maybe at first introduce yourself and maybe how long you've been in the lifestyle.
Yeah, this is Mr. Scuba Couple part of Scuba Couple. My wife and I have been in the lifestyle about a year and a half, 2 years maybe. You know, it's kind of hard to tell when we actually were in the lifestyle, you know, when that official boundary line was crossed. So, but about that period.
This is Greg. My wife is a fae goddess. We've been in the lifestyle off and on for about 12 years, but this is our first trip to any place like this, Desire or anything like that.
This is Mr. Minneapolis Nude Couple, and been in the lifestyle about 10 years off and on, and this is our fourth SwingerCast, official SwingerCast trip.
I'm Scott. We're a hot SLC couple, and we've been in the lifestyle about 2.5 years.
Bill, and I've been in the lifestyle first in the late 70s and early 80s with a committed relationship, and then again with my wife for the last 11 years.
I'm Jay, the male half of South Florida Couple. We've been together for 20 years, married for 15. We've been in the lifestyle for 2 years.
So, you guys, what's it like being a male in the lifestyle?
It's definitely very exhilarating at times because you do and see things, especially in a place like this, that you read about in books or listen to in podcasts, and you never think, oh, my God, that's going to happen to me. And yet here it is, and it does. So for in that case, it's pretty cool. There was no hard and fast moment of one of us saying to the other one, hey, let's do this. It was just kind of a work into it together, comments here and there, and over time it kind of evolved into, hey, yeah, this is what we're doing.
For me, it's, you know, we've been doing this quite a while. And when we started, it was something that I suggested, and we tried out some of the nude groups and things like that, and really didn't do anything for us. And we, since being in the lifestyle, though, it's a lot of balance because, you know, we don't do this. Some people do this every weekend, and, you know, something they do all the time, but, you know, it's balancing life with kids and work and everything else. And it's, I have friends that aren't in the lifestyle that know what we're up to, and you know, they're like, oh man, that's so awesome. That's, you know, I'm so jealous. And there's pros and cons to it. I mean, you've got to have a lot of communication. You've got to have a secure relationship. And as a male in the lifestyle, you're not in charge. You're never in charge. You might think you're in charge. You might want to be in charge. You're not in charge. And it's, you know, as long as my wife is happy and she's enjoying it, then it's all good to go. But you can't go into it with any expectation. You just kind of go with the flow. And if you're going to have expectations, you're just going to mess yourself up, and you're going to be in a lot of heartache, and you're going to get in trouble with your partner, and the whole thing is going to blow up in your face.
We got into it because we did every kinky thing two people can do with every toy and porno film you could possibly buy, and decided that we had to start adding some more things in, and those happened to be live physical people. So we said, let's go swing. I got my wife a book called The Lifestyle, and she read it, and she said, this looks like fun. So we went out to a club called New Horizons in Washington, and we walked in the club with a list of rules. Minneapolis mentioned, you really have to let a woman set the pace, or you're going to get yourself in a little trouble. So we went in with a list of rules, and after she had broken four of them, immediately, one of which I looked over and saw a guy doing something. She had said, absolutely not, no way. I looked over. I said, you know, maybe you want to ask her before you do that. He said, geez, I've been doing it for half an hour, and she seems to be enjoying herself. I said, okay, and that was the last time I paid any attention to the rules. So much for that rule stuff. That was how we got into it. What's it like to be a man, the lifestyle? It's a lot of fun. Nothing I enjoy more than watching my wife have a good time. I mean, a really good time. So the better you're doing her, the better a friend of mine you are. And if you make her scream, we're friends for life.
This is Mr. Penzer of Penzer on SwingerCast on the forums. Been in the lifestyle 2.5 years, 3 years next, this coming summer.
And how long have you been with Ms. Penzer?
Oh, I've been with Ms. Penzer 14 years.
Okay.
Been married for 10.
Okay.
So, second time around, you know, you learn from your mistakes. Our first experience was at Burning Man, and a festival in the Nevadan desert for a week. And it's basically a festival of self-reliance and experimentation in a culture that is kind of made with its own. Just a lot of great people there, and not a lot of judgment of other people. And I think that relates to the lifestyle a lot. We don't judge each other. We try to treat each other as human beings. And a lot of people have intrepidation at first of what is a swinger, and are they extremists? And I mean, you could treat it that way, or you can live it like it's your own. If you can do that, I think it makes everybody more relaxed and comfortable. When you do meet people and make new friends.
We got started after we got married, and you shoot out some innuendos and some I don't know, fantasy words that come out, and when you realize that she's receptive to it, she realizes that you're receptive to it. It becomes something that you end up talking about. So we ended up going to a swing club that's now closed. It was pretty popular in Fort Lauderdale, which was an experience. And then after that, real life kind of took over. We were out of it for a long time. We were never really into it because we just kind of like jumped in and jumped out. But then came swingercast.com, and it was really something that it becomes easier to talk about different things when you're talking about, hey, did you hear what happened with, can you believe what happened with the, then it can, you know, when you talk about something somebody else did, it's easier to kind of roll that into what you'd like to do. But that's how it started. And then from there, we just kind of taken baby steps for a long time. A lot of baby steps, even though this is like our, you know, 3,000th SwingerCast trip. And we've been, you know,
we wish.
Yeah. Right. We've been, you know, going to a bunch of them you know, it's just all baby steps.
My name is Peter from South Africa. We've been together for 19 years now, married for, in a couple of days, 11 years, been in the lifestyle for 10. So been around, really started, especially in South Africa, where it was virtually not spoken of. How did we start? There's the short version. She was away on business in Denmark. Translator was a hot guy. We've been speaking about it prior, just sort of same as you've been saying, throwing the words in and seeing both as receptive. And she liked this guy, and through SMSs we were chatting, and I said, well, if you want something to happen, let it happen. And she said, well, if I'm going to let something happen, I want you to do the same. So both of us took out other people that evening. Something happened, and then the next day we sort of didn't say much about it until she got back home. And you know, it was even hotter when we told each other the stories afterwards, and it was sort of just led from that, started meeting people from there. Being a male in the lifestyle, I think in our case, she makes it very easy for me. We tend to play separate quite often, probably most of the time, and she's quite easy with me doing whatever I want, so I think she makes my life very easy. But it is, as you say, big responsibility, and for me, it's sort of even more of a turn on seeing that she's having a good time than me necessarily doing anything. And because she's naturally a little bit more introverted, sort of sometimes a little bit harder just to get her to relax and be comfortable around people and knowing that she's having a good time. And then I know, okay, well, now I can do whatever I want, you know.
As a male, do you feel like, and you play separately a lot of times, do you feel like you need to like go check out the guy and make sure he's going to be safe with her, or a decent, or do you do any of that, or do you just trust her instincts, or what's that about?
She's got much better instincts than me. Not only does she judge the guy, but she judges the girl for me as well. So it's sort of,
she does.
Oh no, that's okay. You can do that.
Yeah.
Or no, you can't. But yes, I think, you know, for me, there is that protective element. You know, you've got to sort of look at the guy and you go, I'm not so sure I want her to be alone in a room with this guy. You know, it just doesn't feel right. And I think for both of us, and, you know, that would be always what I suggest to new people that get into it. You've got to follow your gut. You know, whatever your gut tells you, you've got to say, you know, there's a reason why I'm feeling rather not tonight, you know. You know, we're out at a party and we're playing with people and you get all turned on and there's this girl that's really hot. And you just look at your wife and something says to you, not tonight. And you know, you might never see them again. You go, ooh, do I really want to pass up on that? But, you know, and the once or twice where I didn't follow the gut, afterwards there's repercussions. So you've got to, I really think you've got to listen to it and go, okay, there's a reason why everything's not feeling okay. So rather just move on, live to fight another day. So
in my case with Faye, it's almost exactly the opposite. My instincts are the ones that we have to go by because she gets so turned on and open and wants to be happy and pleased. We actually talked a lot on the way down here of how do you say no to somebody. And that's very, very hard for her to do. So she relies on me to be the one to kind of, you know, because she'll go out and meet the people and talk to them and everything like that, and then I'm the one that's got to kind of come in and say, yeah, that's fine, or no, they're kind of giving me the willies, or it's just not tonight, or anything like that. So it's kind of interesting that it's very different for me in that case, that the responsibility is almost more on me in that case.
How do you feel about that?
It was kind of awkward a few times at first, and it's every once in a while it's still the moment of, you know, when I'll come in and say, you know what, I'm just not comfortable with this, and there's that kind of moment where she really wants to, or even I really wanted to, but it's like, no, this just isn't going to work, and it is tough to do that. It's hard to say no, and this is not okay, and this is not comfortable right now, but our relationship allows us to be okay with that, for me to say no and it's okay, or for her to say no and it's okay, and it's not a thing that causes strife in our relationship.
I think when we're at home and we're out at a party or something like that, it's, you know, depending on who we're with, it's a very comfortable situation. It can be, but if we're at a big party or something like that, it's for us sometimes hard to break open to and talk to new people. Sometimes here at these events, when we're away, we probably enjoy it more because we're not dealing with everything else you deal with in life. You're just here having fun. You're meeting people. It's our fourth trip, so we know a lot of people, and it's really easy to just kind of let your guard down. I mean, she lets me. She's the general. She considers me she calls me the scout, and
the scout.
And she's the general. And you know what she says goes, and that's, you know, women are in charge. But you know, she lets me flirt and do whatever. And if she needs to rein me in, she's going to do that.
My wife's very shy. Okay, now for those few people that's around you that's met her. She doesn't look shy, but she's quite shy. And it takes her a long time to get to know people. You know, she wouldn't just walk into a place and walk up to someone and start having a conversation. It's just not her. You know, and that's me. I'm quite comfortable with that. I'll just walk into any conversation and start getting into it. But, you know, and it's the first time we come on one of these sort of trips. We typically go to a club. We're there for an evening. And remember, the club we go to, it probably took a good 6 months before we did anything, because we kept on going back and meeting new people until there was this critical mass, and you'd walk in and there's people you know, and she's comfortable with them and she's having conversations, and then it could lead to something. But prior to that, it was just we're going to the club and checking it out. And the same year, you know, we've already been speaking about there's a trip next year to join, because I think it'll be so much easier, especially for her, that you come back next year and a lot of the faces are people you know. So now you can get a little bit more comfortable with them, you can get easier with them, you can actually let go and start having fun. So, you know, I think you're very right. It's the same for us. It makes it interesting between the two people that's so different. But I always say I think we balance each other, because if both of us were introverts, well, I don't think we'd ever get into this. And if both of us were out there, we'd probably get ourselves in trouble all the time. So somewhere in the middle is some balance. You've got to find the balance.
It's funny when you realize that my wife and I are very, we talk to everybody. We have a lot of fun. We joke about. But when we go to the club, it's almost like we've, even though we've been going for a couple of years, we've almost kind of like built this little perimeter around us, and we're still pretty nervous about reaching out. I guess we always ask ourselves, well, how come nobody ever comes up and talks to us? And then remember when she asked Allie that, Allie looked over at her and said, well, do you ever talk to anybody else? And the look on my wife's face was like, oh, we're supposed to do that? God, you know, I didn't think about that or something. And I always feel very nervous. I feel like I want to go and talk, because, I mean, I can just kind of get into a conversation with people, and it's fun, and joke and have fun. But you never want to, you always didn't want to make my wife feel nervous, like I'm going into this, and, you know, it's a very nervous thing. But it's funny how when you're in regular life, you're completely different than when you're here. We've got to learn to be okay with that and not be nervous. We're very nervous people. I don't know why. Do I look nervous? I never feel like I'm nervous, but I actually am.
The good-looking people, it's hard. It's just like, you know, high school. The hot girl, you didn't go up and talk to her, you know?
And she's the one home from prom, you know?
Exactly.
Nobody asked her.
Exactly. Yeah. So you really got to, you know, take it an open mind when you're meeting people and when people come up and talk to you, because, you know, it's for us, if my wife, it's someone that can make her laugh, and if they can make her laugh and it's an interesting conversation, you know, it's all good.
One of the observations that we had the first night, which was Eyes Wide Shut night in the disco, was, you know, there's the ceremony and everything, and people are getting naked, and after that, the almost the normal club scene started happening, and there's a number of women there with, you know, what I call the model perfect body and the perfect club wear and all this, and none of them were naked. They all kept their clothes on, they all just danced, and they all, you could tell that they were almost uncomfortable in their bodies when we would look at them and go, that's perfect. Whereas the group that we were with, there was no problem shedding clothes right in the middle of all of these people and going on from there. So that was a very interesting comment. The attractive people don't get the sex, because it's almost true, because they're not comfortable. They spend so much time being attractive that they don't have any time to be hedonistic and enjoy it.
Yeah, my wife is, I would imagine, fairly attractive.
Oh, yes.
Which one is she? Because she's not getting any sex.
But, you know, she's heard it so often from people, you know, as they get to know us. She goes, you know, I found you attractive, this guy, that guy, and why did you never speak to me? And they would always say to her, we find you so intimidating. Because you're so confident in your body, okay? And they're like, look at it, and they go, how do we even approach that? And I go out, I'm the scout, you know?
Yeah.
I remember we were in this one, in Fun for Two in Amsterdam. We're sitting, and it's all these new people. It's like, so we're looking around, and this guy walks in. My wife says, damn, he's hot. I said, well, go talk to him. She says, I can't, because she's quite nervous about it. I said, okay, I'll be back. She says, where are you going? I said, I'm going to the bathroom. She said, okay. And she came looking for me. I'm sitting with a guy. And as she walks up, I says, this is my wife. She finds you hot. and the guy was sort of, okay. And my wife didn't know what to do. Well, half an hour later, they were gone in a room. And I thought, okay, I did my job. It's fine. Okay. So, you know, and it's just, she needed someone to break the ice for her. You know, it's just like not normal for her. And the guy also looked at her and went, how do I even start with this? You know, it's interesting. It's back to what you've asked about, you know, the responsibility of the man in the relationship. And I find in our clubs, we often find the women are the hunters. You know, typically in our clubs, what would happen, the women would be on the dance floor, and the women would start dancing with each other. And when they get into each other, then the guys would only join. It's like, okay, the match is made, so we can now join.
How do you feel about that?
I think it works sometimes, but, you know, for me, I like being involved in the process, sitting on the sidelines and just observing. Look, it's very hot seeing two women getting into each other. It's amazing. But, you know, I find a lot of guys rely on that, and I find that a bit sad. You know, that they actually rely on their wife to go out and find it, and then they'll step in. So...
Yeah, my wife's an anomaly in the lifestyle. She prefers cock. She leaves the pussy to me. So she's not at all aggressive. She's passive. She likes aggressive men. And so I'm the scout and the general and everything else. And one of the things I have to figure out when we are going to meet a new couple is the guy aggressive? Because if he's too timid and too passive, nothing's going to happen. There's going to be no chemistry there, no nothing. And although she's experimented with women and so on, it's just not her thing. And we really find that there's a lot of reliance on that in the lifestyle, women hooking up and women getting together and you know, getting the whole ball rolling. And that's actually an impediment for us because it's not something that she's into. So,
was it like that in the 70s? Or is it just, have you seen that as a difference now?
In the 70s, it was a different relationship. You know, it was a different
right.
person.
A different
and
person.
People are different. I'd say it was about the same. It was hetero and bi. And the 70s was completely different. Anybody who's in the lifestyle now and thinks they're living something that's wild and sexual, you weren't there for the sexual revolution before it all crashed down because of first herpes and then AIDS, which scared the shit out of everybody. It was wild and getting wilder by the day. So.
Yeah, it's interesting. The which one is kind of the hunter or the scout or the aggressor or however you want to put it. Just kind of our culture. There's this stereotype of the guy. You know, a guy who's too forward. You know, it's, how do you not cross that line into being kind of this creepy jerk thing? You know, and that's a big issue. And I think a lot of the reasons that the women do it is, well, one example from one of our early club visits. We're sitting there at this table, and there was this other couple at this other table, and we started chatting with them. And the guy says something like, yeah, my wife, she really isn't, you know, I can't think of exact phrasing, really isn't into this. She really didn't want to come here tonight, but I said, oh, come on, we're going. And so that immediately, my wife was just like, timeout, zero, gone. You know, we're done with this. That just totally was not something she appreciated. And I think that's one of the things that, if the women do it, you have that kind of that, you know, that's not the case. You know, if the woman's approaching, you know she's into it. She's not being drugged there, because I think the tendency is, on average, for the guy to maybe be more interested in it than the women in a couple that is not sure of it. Now, in the couples that are actually into it, as I think we can all attest to, the women are way, way into it, you know.
Kind of going to horn in on Allie's action here for a second and ask a question. For you guys that are the seekers in your relationship, the scouts, how do you do that? How do you get in there and break the ice? Because that is something that I have an incredibly hard time doing. I feel so shy, so I don't want to be that creepy guy. I don't want to be the individual going out and doing that. So what's the best way for us to do that?
Well, don't walk up to somebody by yourself. Okay, bring your wife with you. Make sure your wife is on your arm, under your arm, so that they know, oh, this is a couple coming up to me. He just happens to be doing the talking. So I think if you get approached singularly by a guy, you say, oh, where's the woman? What's he doing here? And I'd say that's number one. Number two is, no matter how nervous you are, other people are twice as insecure and twice as nervous, and you can just bet on it. And you know what? They're happy you came and talked to them. Smile, be friendly, and if... There's a saying in sales, you need 9 no's to get 1 yes. And just don't be hurt when you get a no. When somebody doesn't want to talk to you, move on, move on. You're at a party. There's 100 couples there. That's why there's 100 there. So you can talk to 99 of them and find the one that you want to have fun with.
This is not a piece of advice, but it's something that I'm discovering about myself as far as breaking the ice. I keep messing things up, or messing the possibility of something happening, because I end up treating everybody like... it's a high school reunion, and I'm just like having fun and joking around, and it just becomes like too much fun, you know. It's just it changes the dynamic of anybody coming and talking to us. One thing I was told recently, that when we're dancing and it happens to turn into like a, you know, where somebody else, a third person, comes into the dancing, I go into this defense mechanism where I'll start cracking a joke or something where there's no need for a joke in this situation. But I mean, I get nervous because I'm not knowing what I'm supposed to do. So I screw everything up by just probably being maybe one of the things that my wife likes the most about me. And that's, trying to get rid of that is a hard thing.
I find being upfront with people also helps. You know, if we walk into a club and there's new people, everyone knows what the club's about. Everyone knows why they're there. So, you know, yes, you first want to make that connection. You want to have the, in brackets, superficial discussion, where you're from, what do you do, etc. And you know, at least there you can see there's a conversation happening. So there's something. You know, I mean, you know, for us, because we're ambassadors at the club that we work at, so we meet a lot of newbies. So a lot of newbies. About every night we go, there's a good 5-6 couples that we meet. So we've got a lot of new people that's got a lot of questions. And we tend to use that often. And you just, it's nice having that conversation, you know. Why are you here? What are you looking for? And share your experiences. And I find, even with people that's been in the lifestyle for a long time, the more you talk about it, each one's in a different plane. And if you're upfront about what you're looking for, what you are, what you are not, it actually also establishes with other people that you're also where they are. It's like this conversation we're having. I was just sitting here listening to this conversation and thinking, wouldn't it be nice for our wives to be listening to this? Because they're all in the same place. But you know what? It's interesting. And it's the same. You talk to a couple and you realize, yes, he might built better than me, or have a nicer smile than me, or she's got bigger breasts than me. I mean, it's a typical thing I always hear, or a nicer body, or whatever. But when you actually get down to talking, we're all very much on the same place, and you find that basis, and you might find someone that's a little bit different than you. You go, well, that's not us, and it's fine. You move on, and you know, and just having that conversation, being willing to have the conversation, even. There's a lot of people just going to sit in the corner, and that's it. Leave me alone, you know? Well, why did you come here then?
I want to ask some questions. I'm curious, is dick size something that you guys worry about, or not being able to seriously. I mean, or not being able to get it up?
Very, very much so. Very much so. The first night we were here, the couple that we played with, the male had a much larger dick than I did. And it was funny because there was that moment of, hey, wait a minute. And then as I'm fucking his wife, she's running her hands all over my chest and my shoulders because her husband is a very skinny man. And there was this moment of, okay, I'm giving her something that she doesn't have while he's giving my wife something that I don't have. And it made it okay. It made it completely okay.
That's great.
For me, and I tell this to a lot of women because my wife is a very voluptuous woman, I think intimidated by her because they're like, wow, you know, he's not going to like my smaller breast size or what have you. And I tell women straight out, I said, for me, variety is the spice of life. You know, I like a voluptuous woman, but I like a woman who has, you know, a nice curve in their back or something. It's every woman is unique, and there's always something. And you, getting back to
your dick size.
Dick size. I don't have a problem with that because I'm not the most endowed man, but, you know, I don't consider myself small. Every woman that I've been with or, you know, talked to, and, you know, I always get a compliment. And, you know, I don't think I'm huge. You know, I'm average, your average, you know, American male as far as I'm concerned. And I'm not huge, but then, you know, I have, you know, I guess it's, you know, comes down to skill, and, you know, they look at it and they like it. So, you know, I'm not going to complain.
I luckily came to, as far as dick size goes, I luckily came to terms with it very early on, as far as having to go into a place where my wife might be, you know, she might be involved or looking at other guys with, you know, who might be well way more endowed than there's. I got over that fast. It never bothers me because I know that for one, there's nothing I can do that's going to change the way I am and the way how big my dick is or whatever. There's just nothing you can ever do. See, maybe I'm just lucky and I can just put that behind me, or maybe I'm just in denial. I don't know, but it works for me really, really well. I've never cared about that. I really never worried that she was going to think, oh God, you know, it's kind of hot if she found something that she kind of, you know, if it was a dick that was different and she enjoyed that a lot. I mean, that'd be incredibly hot.
You want to say something?
Yeah, one of the things that's really been amazing about the lifestyle, and that you really learn, it's kind of a crash course in learning that a lot of the stuff you think matters apparently does not matter, because, you know, we've had experiences with people that, you know, you look at them like, okay, well, what do we bring to this? Why would they begin to be interested in us or want to do something with us? And they do, because it turns out that as you get into this, you discover that it's not, most people in the lifestyle are not totally focused on exactly how perfect a body they can find to go out and play with that night. It's the people. And everybody has something unique about them, something they bring to it. And a lot of the things we tend to worry about, oh, you know, the dick size or whatever, turns out, doesn't matter to a lot of people. It'll matter to some. I mean, there's always going to be some that they have something they focus on. You know, if a guy isn't extremely muscular, they're not interested or something. But for the in general, we found, you know, people are pretty relaxed about their, you know, their requirements, I guess.
So I'll skip the dick size. I think these guys
covered it.
Fine. You know, yeah. Even though my wife does like a big one, she's happy with them all. The getting it up thing can be an issue, and it's not the attractiveness of the woman by any means. Sometimes it's pressure. A lot of times it's alcohol, which is a huge mistake. In fact, we met a couple once, and they said, if you want to have sex, we're not going to drink because I get whiskey dick. The guy was just straight out with it. And the other one is the late hours, and that often kills us. We're really strange people. I perform better when I'm not drunk and it's not after midnight. right? So I want to fuck your wife in the afternoon sober, and then we can go to dinner, get drunk and dance and go home and go to sleep, and that works for me. But, you know, if we try this at 2 o'clock in the morning and I can't get it up now, I can't get it as hard as it should be, I start to feel bad. Oh, my God, she's going to think I don't think she's attractive. You know, how come I can't function here? And it's just horrible. But it's generally related to being up too late and too much alcohol.
I think that's great, Bill, what you said, because I hear from some women that sometimes they feel it's something about them, and you just let us know all the many other factors.
It's not about you, girls. You're gorgeous, you're hot, you're sexy. It's just too late, and I'm too drunk.
Exactly. And I think that there's also the thing, for me at least, of the first time we went into a playroom, that's kind of intimidating. Because you're looking around and you're going, there's all these, you know, again, things you only see in movies going on all around you. And you're going, okay, when I watch that in the movie, it turns me on. Let's go, buddy. Let's do this. It's time. And nothing's happening. And then you go into that spiral of, okay, what's wrong? And, you know, and she's thinking there's something. And there's nothing wrong. It's just almost overstimulation or late hours or whatever. Because I'm kind of like you. I don't drink very much because I don't even want to try that. And luckily, that's why there's tongues and fingers and all that kind of stuff.
Do you communicate with the other partner, like saying, you know, it's not you, it's... Or do you feel like you have to do that, or how is that?
I'm learning how to, because that is... It's awkward. I mean, how do you tell somebody, I may not get it up, and it's not you?
Did you want to say something?
I think I want to go have sex this afternoon before I get drunk.
Yeah, I think we have to do that. Well, I often feel guilty a little bit, but not too much anymore. But when I'm able to have multiple orgasms, then I feel like my partner is not able to have multiple orgasms. Can you share with me something about that? I mean, does it satisfy you not to have an orgasm?
I hate having orgasms. But yeah, my wife, I was showing someone earlier today, I literally can put my hand on her belly, not touch her sexually, and she'll orgasm in about 10 seconds. And it's real. She orgasms for nothing. She'll have in one session 30 orgasms, just like one after the other, and she just keeps going. And it's amazing. Once she keeps going, she just doesn't stop. And I've often had, you know, same back to the performance anxiety thing, and it's like this spiral. You think yourself worse and worse and worse, and then there's nothing. I'm quite happy to just see her having orgasms and not having anything. I'm quite happy getting home. I find the best sex we have is when we get home from the club, get back home, and I haven't had anything during the night. I had an orgasm or anything, but she had multiple. Okay. Now it's daddy's time, you know, and it's nice having that. And, you know, it's not about the orgasm. It's so much more than that. It's a whole experience. It's being part of something just on a whole different level. For me personally, I like seeing that I've given someone pleasure. So, you know, I would play with a girl and she would orgasm and I wouldn't receive anything back, but I'm more than happy. Because she really enjoyed it, and she was happy, and that works for me.
I know I hear a lot, you said a lot of your women are bisexual or bi-comfy, and you noticed that a lot in the lifestyle. Predominantly in the lifestyle, what I've observed is at least they're bi-comfy, the women. And people have written to me before, there's like a double standard when a guy is bisexual. Or if a guy's bisexual, he can't really come out and say it in like an organized setting or a club. I was just wondering how you guys feel about that, one. And if you've ever had any fantasies with your partner that involved like a DVP, a double vaginal penetration, or if your partner's ever had that fantasy. If you're not bi, you would have to definitely be comfortable doing that with a guy. So I just want to know what you feel about that. And also, is it the same way in South Africa too?
Yes. I think this is a whole podcast on its own. I remember us starting and I said to my wife, I want to see you with another woman. She said no. I said, please, no. Please, no. And then one night she said, okay, you really want me to do it, I'll do it. So we got into the lifestyle. I'll cut it short because I know of the time we have. And one night she walked into the house and she said, I want to see you get a blowjob from a guy. And I was like, okay, yes. And the thought pattern first was, no way in hell. And then I thought, well, hang on, that's double standards, because I asked her, I begged her to do it, why can't I? So I said, I'll tell you what, if you organize it, I'll do it. And she organized the guy that she knew. It was a gay guy. It's a funny story. She took a photo of me, showed it to him at work because he worked with her. And she said, what do you think of this? He says, I'll have that. And she said, well, it's my husband. Do you want to come over? He said, for sure. So anyway, and the first time it happened, I had to be playing with my wife because that kept me hard. And the guy sort of, he knew that this was the first time, and he was very nice about it. Played with my wife, and next moment I just noticed there's a mouth on me. And then I noticed, this is actually quite nice. And then I noticed, yeah, where my face is, where I'm busy with my wife, there's suddenly a river, okay? And she was just getting so turned on by this. She was just through the roof, okay? So it's happened once or twice with us where there is a guy that's comfortable with it. So I wouldn't go out looking for it, but if it happens, it's sort of okay. And it turns the hell out of her. And just to add on to the other thing you've asked, double vaginal penetration, etc., I'm totally fine with that. So she's had it multiple times, and, you know. So, yeah, there's two cocks rubbing up against each other. You know what? Right now I'm not worried about that. Look at what she's looking like, okay? So that's not important right now. And I'm fine with that. I mean, it was sort of... The first time was a mental thing more than it's a physical thing. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my wife and I, she loves to be with two guys. So sometimes if the other woman gets worn out or just wants to sit and watch, then she really enjoys that. So we've done the double vaginal thing, and my dick did not explode or turn green, right? And so it's not a problem with me. I've definitely noticed a double standard that people you see at clubs, absolutely no male-male contact, will throw you right out. You see on websites, any bisexual men need not apply kind of thing. Bisexual couples, we don't want anything to do with you, and so on. So I see the double standard out there. Me, I don't care. It's not something I go look for, but it's not going to – people rub up against each other and do things. I mean, I'm with you.
I think that a lot of it goes to it's almost an American standard of there is no bisexuality. You can't do it. And I'll admit that when I first started, I was kind of the same way. I remember one of the first things we were doing, I'm kind of sitting back on my couch with my arms spread, and the guy sitting next to me, and we're getting blowjobs and our arms brush, and it was like electricity. Oh shit, I can't touch that. And then just the other night, you know, there's 5, 6, 7 bodies, and you're rubbing, and you don't know what gender it is, and it doesn't matter at that moment. So again, am I going to go looking for it? No. Am I comfortable with it? Yeah. It's not. It's just not that big of a deal anymore.
I was going to say quick. I have seen it very closeted. I've had couples on some of the sites come up, or I'm talking to the guy online or what have you, or on the phone, and he's like, "Well, are you bi?" And I don't consider myself bi. I've never had that, but you know, I'm open if there's like guy touching or something in the midst of a foursome or something like that. And I touch the guy, it's not going to bother me. But yeah, I think a lot of it, it's the guys, they keep it closeted until they can really maybe talk to that other couple and then present it. And if it's rejected, then it's rejected.
Well, they're bi, so they can, I guess, I don't know.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? Do you...
Well, Charlotte, you know, as we've kind of learned, is a little less bisexual than I would have hoped. But she's certainly bi-comfortable, very much so. But as other people have said, I wouldn't go look for it, but it really turns me on that it turns her on to do things with men. And so, you know, it's pretty much a zero of just me and a guy together, but with, you know, doing things with a guy when she's watching is an extreme turn on for me.
Okay, I just want to ask, is there anything that you guys want the women to know?
One kind of theme that I notice everybody talked about is it doesn't really matter what is going on in whatever situation is, as long as our wives are having fun. And I think that, you know, Peter was talking about, it doesn't matter if we have an orgasm, as long as our wives are having fun. And I think that that's the biggest thing, is that most of us, I get the feeling, we get our enjoyment from watching them have their enjoyment. So I know that my wife occasionally, you know, does the whole, hey, are you having fun? Are you having fun? You know what? I'll tell you if I'm not. I'll come over and I'll say something. Watching you laying there doing that, that is what is fun for me. So that's something that I'd like them to know, is that we enjoy watching them enjoy themselves in whatever the situation may be.
From the standpoint of it's all about the women, and the women get to make the decisions and so on, ladies, what you need to understand is with authority comes responsibility. Okay, so you want the authority, you've got some responsibility. Number one, I would like to have my wife more look over at me and say, honey, I want you to fuck the shit out of her, and I'm going to enjoy watching it. I'm not going to be intimidated if you look like you're having the best time of your life, because, of course, I worry about that. I don't want to hurt her feelings by having too much fun with somebody else. And the other one is, if a woman's in charge and she gets to say a lot of no, she's got to give a lot of yes, too. So if your wife wants me to play with her, she's got to give a little more indication. And that's a real role reversal, because in society in general, male are more the aggressors still, although that's changing. But in swinging, it's a real role reversal, and it creates a lot of pressure, I think, on men if we don't get enough positive feedback from women. And so women, you need to learn to give a lot more positive feedback than you're used to giving.
My wife being fairly shy and not being the aggressor and being out there, I think the only thing I would say to ladies that's in that same situation, it's extremely hot when a woman starts feeling comfortable in her body. When she's confident and she's able to just, not say be out there and go run amok, but when she can talk to someone. You know, when you approach, I've had it so often, I approach ladies and it's not, you know, over time I get to know them and then I realize it's not because there's anything wrong. It's just, as I approached them, it was just like they got scared. You know, just if someone's coming to talk to you, we all know why we're here. We all know we're in the lifestyle. Otherwise, we wouldn't have come through these doors in the first place. You know, so it's coming something to talk to you. Have a conversation. You know, be comfortable with that. Be okay with it. And you know, it's something I've had to deal with. My wife is not only shy but picky. So you know, so I sort of go, oh, that's nice. Oh, that's nice. I'm like a kid in a Christmas shop. And my wife goes, nah, I'll wait. You know, it's sort of, oh, honey, please, can I have that for Christmas? But yeah, you know, I think it's also not about just having sex. I think it is about that whole experience, the being comfortable.
Yeah, one thing I'd like the women to know is, you know, us guys, we come up and we're chatting to you, we're talking to you a little bit, and we'll, at some point we'll say something, and it could either be, you're looking at it going, wow, that's either he's trying to be funny or he's a huge jerk. I just want you to know, we were going for funny.
That reminds me. I want you guys to know that the vast majority of women, when they're looking for guys in the lifestyle, they say to me, confidence and a sense of humor.
I would like to ask a question of the other guys.
Okay.
Just came
Absolutely.
Up for me. And do you ever feel when you're in a situation, be it here, be it at a club, wherever, where you look at your wife and you go, is she okay? And have I forced her into something where she doesn't belong? Okay? Does it ever come up for any of you?
You've obviously never met my wife. Because she is usually the one dragging me, kicking and screaming sometimes, and doing stuff that I'm like, no. Well, yeah, okay. All right, that's all right. I guess the best answer I have is not really. She is usually the one that gets much more comfortable with things much more quickly than I do. It takes me a lot longer to warm up to people. Even coming here, it took me a day and a half to really relax and really get comfortable and see the relaxation and acceptance of people, that everybody is okay with everybody here. You know, being naked is a great equalizer, because you're not seeing the armor of clothing and the persona that people put on in their vanilla lives. You're here to relax. It's like you say, we all know why we're here. We didn't travel all the way to this place to sit around and drink coffee and talk about our kids, although we end up doing that a lot.
One of the funny things is a lot of the pushing that I think I do sometimes is pushing her to keep going when it gets really late. Because a lot of times we're really shy and don't kind of get things going, and she's up for it, and let's do this. And, you know, just as it gets later and later and later, you know, she starts losing it, and I'm tired, you know. And she would have probably done some things if we hadn't have been so shy and just got with it and started talking with people sooner. And, you know, you run out of time. And
I never felt like I've ever pushed my wife into doing anything she didn't want to do. I just don't think it's in my nature to push her. I think it's more in my nature in our relationship to be the guy to hold things back a bit. What I do push her to do is to express herself, because she really will not do it to the level at which, you know, I would appreciate if she did. And I'm sure my expectation's pretty high. I'd wish her she'd just say whatever's on her mind and know herself that well and trust me enough just to say whatever it is she wants or whatever she's feeling. But, you know, nobody ever really is. And it's a journey. It's a journey to the end. And, well, the end is total honesty, I guess. I don't know. I'm being able to feel comfortable enough to be honest.
One of the best things that is for us is the decompression, the afterward. I'm always curious. You know, I know what it was like for me. And you can look over and you can figure some things out. But, you know, you're not always in the same room or the same situation. And it's not jealousy. I think it's just I want to know that it was good, and I want to know what she enjoyed. It's a learning process. If it was something she had never done, that we had never done, maybe I'd like to try that to add to our own skill set.
So now I know all of you have been in the lifestyle for a while, and now that you're doing things that you fantasize about, when your wife shares you a fantasy, do you automatically think it's going to be reality?
There's certain fantasies that my wife has that I don't think will ever happen, you know? Not because I'm not okay with it, but I don't think she'll actually ever go there. It's sort of this idea, and it sounds very hot, but I don't think she'll actually do it. And then I think there's fantasies which you really want to pursue because, you know, they are something that really turn you on. Ellie knows this. I was telling her last night. One fantasy I've got is I'm a DJ, so I want to get a blowjob while I'm DJing. So, Ellie, I think we need to talk. But you know, there's things that my wife has said, oh, I would like that. And I've often thought, should I organize it? And then you don't want to just organize it and scare her, but you also don't want to say, should I do it? And then it's not a fantasy, it's not a surprise anymore. And you sort of work your way around and start questioning, and you realize, you know, it's just something in the head. It's not something that's real. It's not something that she's ready for yet. And I think it's good to have the fantasies, and they don't necessarily all come true, and they don't necessarily all real.
Well, how do you differentiate? Can you tell if there's a fantasy that she isn't going to live out?
No, that's a difficult one. I tend to communicate a lot, so I ask a lot of questions. You know, would you really want that? What would you do? How would you do it, etc. And, you know, and from that I start getting a sense, is this real? Is this really something she wants? Or is this just an interesting thought? And what we find is that, you know, it sort of develops over time. Fantasies that we had 10 years ago that we said would never happen are now realities, and there's some other fantasies that surfaced. And I think it's a progression. You sort of grow over time, and, you know, things you thought you would never have done suddenly becomes real. So, yes, you are living your fantasy, and I think it's an ongoing thing for us.
Almost all couples that are in the lifestyle that I've talked to almost seem to go through a progression of their sex lives. You know, when you're young and you're first married, you're doing basic vanilla sex. And then as you grow and everything, you start getting into doing other things, whether it's kinky or whatever. And it's almost like, for some of us, it seems this is just the next step. And part of that is being able to live out your fantasies. And have the idea of, yeah, it's one thing that, you know, we're talking about, oh, wouldn't it be cool to see this? Then it's, you talk about it and it gets hotter and hotter and hotter. And then it's like, okay, do we really want to do that? And it almost becomes a planning process of, okay, what are the logistics of making that happen? and you get to the point of, okay, yeah, it is going to happen, and let it flow into it, and then it does, and then you get the months afterwards of wasn't that hot. So you kind of get the up, the build up, the occurrence, and then the downhill, and so you can experience this one fantasy for months, if not years.
Fantasies, I think, have been a really important part of our journey into the lifestyle, because a lot of what we've started as a fantasy, and as you kind of explore that fantasy and it, you know, I'll say use it more, you know, you starts to become like, well, you know, that actually might be something that we want to try. And so that's a lot of how we got into this. But we've also discovered some fantasies that they're better left as fantasies, you know, and that's really one of the hardest things for us, is figuring out, and I'm not sure it's possible to tell those up front, you know, the fantasy that really means you want to try it and should try it, from the ones that, yeah, you're going to try it, but it's not going to be that great. So, I mean, the main thing we've taken away from that is, okay, some of these fantasies, you know, we'll maybe give them a try, but nobody's upset if it doesn't work out. If it was like, wow, that, you know, that sounded, all that Jell-O sounded like much more fun than it really was. You know, whatever the fantasy is, that's not an example of a real fantasy of ours. But, you know, just that it's okay to experiment. I mean, that's a lot of what the lifestyle is about also, is being open and experimenting. And I think fantasies are one way to kind of do that.
Wow, that's great. Okay, guys, thank you so much. I think we got some great stuff. Don't you?
Yeah, that was great.
Awesome.
Wow.
Awesome.
Got the guys.
You guys, wow. See, I was totally thinking that you guys were not going to be talking. And you guys, wow. Were totally.